Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful spring day. I don't mind the spring here rather than where I grew up in Illinois because I don't have the allergies here. And the spring back in Illinois killed me. The fall here gets me, but so I can't complain. So what do you think of when I mention the word meditation? Maybe it's a Shaolin monk, you know, with his mustard yellow robes on and large brown beads hanging from his neck, sitting quietly in a Buddhist temple with a bunch of candles. Maybe think of Kung Fu. You know, I know my dad loved that show, picking up the cauldron, you know, just meditating. Or perhaps you think of an Indian yogi. He's wearing all white flowing robes and got a big, long, wispy beard, sitting cross-legged, repeating things like, oh, it's very good. So, while attempting to reach a state of enlightenment. So, does that have anything to do with the meditation that we should be doing? Please turn to Psalm 5. Psalms 5, we're going to read the very first verse, Psalms 5:1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Okay, so we're told right here that we should be meditating. We should be meditating to God, about God, something along those lines. So what does that biblical meditation look like that's spoken of there in Psalms 5? In comparison with the meditation that's very popular in Eastern cultures and now has moved over here since the 1950s and really become very popular here as well. So let's talk about today, in our short time, what the goal of non-biblical-based meditation is and the philosophy behind it. And then we will kind of compare that to the goal and the philosophy behind biblical-based meditation. All right, so I printed off. These are some of the five most popular in the United States kinds of meditation. There are more than this, but I'll read a little bit about these five. So we'll talk about them. This particular article came from insider.com, and it was in December 11th, 2020. So the first kind is mindful meditation. To put it simply, mindful meditation is the basic act of being aware or mindful of what you're doing in the present moment. For example, you could be practicing mindfulness while you're walking your dog, brushing your teeth, washing the dishes. It would mean that you are 100% involved in the activity you're doing and not thinking about any distractions, stressing about the past, or worrying about the future. So it's mindful meditation. It's about being able to redirect your thoughts when you get distracted and come back to your breath rather than being carried away by distractions. All right, so you're mindful in the moment. The second kind is what's called body scan meditation. Body scan meditations focus on consciously relaxing different parts of your bodies. You'll like focus on your feet and slowly move your way up, and you're really only thinking about what your feet feel like, then your legs, then your pelvis, then your core, and you work your way up. And that way you start to relax those different parts of your body as you go. But you try not to let other thoughts come in and you just focus on those. So this is focusing on the body itself. It has been shown in some studies to help with stress or anxiety, lowering your blood pressure just because you calm down and allow your parasympathetic nervous system to calm down. There's another one. This is called walking meditation. I'm guessing this is for the ADD person who wants to do meditation. So instead of using breath as the point of awareness, walking meditation has you focus on each step as you're walking, okay? Just focusing on the foot, the rhythm, just and you focus on your feet, not what's going on around you. You're just focusing on your feet. This is very rudimentary what we're covering, but like body scan meditation, walking meditation allows you to cultivate a sense of mind-body awareness by focusing on the body's physical sensations as it moves. Okay, then there's what's called loving kindness meditation, and this is about directing your thoughts of goodwill and positivity towards yourself and others. An example of that would be just telling yourself over and over again in a quiet, meditative way, may I be happy, may I be healthy, may I be safe. Or, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe. So you're just thinking these positive thoughts about yourself or about someone else. And then the fifth most popular kind is called transcendental meditation, or called TM. Transcendental meditation involves focusing on a specific mantra, which would be a sound or a phrase, by repeating it over and over during the meditation. The mantra acts as an object of awareness for the practitioner, just like breathing is the object of awareness in mindful meditation or your walking is in walking meditation. This type of meditation gained popularity in the United States through the 1960s when it was brought over from India and secularized for a Western audience. It's widely popular among Hollywood stars and Wall Street executives. That could be due to its sense of exclusivity because it costs $2,500 per session. I never tried that, sure. So, as you can see, just in this very short tertiary covering of different types of meditation, not everything that we read there would be like, well, I don't, that's terrible. Being quiet, being mindful, thinking positive things about yourself or someone else, just allowing yourself to relax, those aren't bad things, and they've been shown to help with blood pressure and other things. Sitting quietly and getting control of our negative emotions is not bad. Relaxing the autonomic nervous system is a good thing for your health. The problem is that the further that you look into these types of meditation, into their core beliefs that created and dictate these forms of meditation, the more you see that they actually can start to fly in the face of who is the source of truth and happiness and well-being. Transcendental meditation is very popular, like I said, especially among rich people and powerful people. Maharishi Maheshi, he's a yogi who created and introduced TM, the technique, that movement that came over here in the 1950s and started from there. I watched some videos of him talking. He said, the inner mind always goes towards bliss and happiness. He said, the inner mind always moves towards bliss and happiness. This is the natural order of things, to go towards the good. Please turn to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? At our core, what the Bible says is we are not going towards bliss and happiness. We are not the source of that. We, at our core, have all kinds of problems. We are carnal. We have enmity towards God. That's who we are at our core. So if you believe, oh, well, deep down inside of man, we're good. Do we need God? So the idea is that enlightenment and happiness are already within you. You don't need any God to help you, to teach you, to rule over you. You already have it in you. You already have it in you. The question is that true? Has mankind shown over the years that deep down inside we're peaceful, loving, and good? I'll let you meditate on that. I watched a TED talk by a Buddhist Shaolin monk. And one of his big points was clarity, right? You have to have clarity. Okay, that sounds good on the surface. He said, once you have clarity, you can see clearly what it is that you need to do for your life. Or your life. There is no one path. Everybody has their own thing that they can do. And once you see clearly, you can make the decisions yourself, and you don't need anyone to help. You don't need anything to guide. You are enlightened. Can you think of a being who thought that about himself? You are supposedly, for all this to work, good at your core. Secular humanism says human beings at their core are good. All we have to do is all get together, sing Kumbaya, and we'll solve all the world's problems because deep down we're good. We just have all these things pushing down on us, all these years of religion or patriarchy or whatever. If we can just get rid of that, we're all good. We all want the same things, right? Is that true? Another point was to stay in the present and do not focus on the past or the future. Now, there is some truth in that, right? If you live in the past all the time, something bad happened to you, you can just focus on it all the time. Well, that's not good. And if you have your heads in the clouds and you're just dreaming all the time about, oh, well, in the future I'll do that, that's not necessarily good either. But only focusing on the present is the opposite of God's holy day plan that we're, you know, just a part of, right? He has a past, he has a present, and he has a future. You have somewhere you came from, you can learn from. You're present, you can grow and change from what you've learned, and you have somewhere you're going. If you don't have somewhere you're going, you're just focused on yourself sitting here right now, and you're going to do whatever you got to do to feed who you are and what you want right now. Another point was master yourself. You can do that all by yourself. You can master yourself, bring yourself under control without anyone else's guidance at all. Well, this is a fallacy for sure. Even cultures are designed in order to try to help keep people in line, right? We have laws and rules because people do not master themselves. And the whole point of Christianity is saying, I can't do this by myself. I need Christ dwelling within me. I need the Holy Spirit because I can't do this by myself. I have to have help because I'm not good at my core. I don't have bliss and happiness at my core. And then a lot of different ones, types of meditation have a focus point, right? They have a mantra. So either just a word or a sound, and you just repeat it over and over and over and over again, and you get yourself into a trance. You focus on that so much that you can't turn your brain completely off, but you can sure empty it out a lot, right? And you just over and over and over and over every day, multiple times. By allowing your brain to be empty, what happens in a vacuum every time, right? If you have a vacuum, something's going to fill it. And there is a spirit out there that would love to fill that vacuum. All right? The whole point of the Enlightenment says you are like God. You are like a God. The same thing that Satan told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You don't need God. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. Don't worry about it. You can figure it out yourself. No, that is incorrect. And if you don't believe me, just look at human history. No wonder the rich and powerful like it, right? They already are masters of the universe in some ways. And then you tell them, hey, you know what? You're a God, and you're super rich, and you get everything you want, and everybody loves you, and you think you're the greatest thing ever. No wonder they love it. And then they feed it to us in our entertainment, in our music, everything, in our policies that come down, all of it. Go to Genesis 3:5. Let's just cover this really fast. For God, this is Satan talking, for God does know that in the day you eat of it, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's what this idea comes from. It's the same trick he played on them. He's playing on us now. You don't need God. You don't need God. You have God inside you. You are God. Because he thought he was as good as God. So he's telling us the same thing he told himself. So let's talk about biblical meditation really quick. Go to Psalm 119. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. This is 119.97. 119.99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The difference in our meditation that we are supposed to do is we're not emptying our minds. We're not looking to ourselves. We're not looking at our inner bliss and peace, which isn't there. We are saying, I'm focused on God, His law, His testimonies, and those are what teach me from the past, make me live in the present, and take me to the future. God and His ways are the keys to bliss and happiness. God is the source of all goodness, not from within ourselves at our core. Learn from the past, live in the present, look to the future that God has told us is coming. That's better than anybody can tell you comes from your inside. Focus on the Word of God, not a mantra, because it means something. The Word of God means something, not just a random sound. Fill your minds with God's Word and don't empty it. And use God's Word to apply in situations and questions. Christianity is all about thinking and using our minds while at the same time acknowledging our shortcomings and limitations without God. Meditation is a great thing to do if done correctly. But like everything else in this world, there are many corrupted forms of it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil takes many, many different forms. Satan likes to disguise himself as an angel of light by mixing some good with some evil. Be on guard for his perversions. Take the time to analyze and to find the parts that have been corrupted according to God's word. Meditation is a great tool that we have to grow in grace and knowledge, but remember to test all things. Now go home and meditate on this.